There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that is going from universe to universe and into your ears. Joining me as always is the ever-traveling Lee.
Yeah, I was traveling. I'm welcome back. Yeah, I'm not as always with you. You've had some guestesses.
Yeah, we had a few
friends of ours
trying to fill
yes.
in. Yeah,
talking nobody, about how wonderful Dragon Con is.
But nobody can replace you.
Aww, you're so sweet.
So speaking of which, did you happen to get to hear the one with Ron by any chance?
Not yet.
Okay, well, the reason why I bring this up is because someone had brought up something that we had talked about in the. In that podcast, which was all the basically that we went through all the policies and the stuff that says mm-hmm. on the back of your badge and things like that.
Yeah.
And I will stress again that I do not speak for Dragon Con in any way, shape, or form.
You can just read occasionally.
Yeah. So one of the things that came up is that it was about the lines, about, you know, lining up
yes.
in advance. And the rules state that, you know, you can't line up more than an hour in advance.
Right.
But she pointed out that she has seen people in line at 7 a.m. And she's even been in line at 7 a.m.
Yes. And those are kind of the unofficial lines, which everybody gets upset about. So mm-hmm. I think the best idea is to look for somebody. There is always at the official times in the big rooms, there is always somebody there who is security. And they will be helping with set up the lines. There is usually also somebody with disability services because they are also helping anybody who needs some extra help or anything like that. So the best idea is to look for those people and ask them where the official line is starting. They will have a place. If it's a panel that they think is going to be really big that morning, like the first panel of the day, you may be able to see a sign that says line for 10 a.m. Saturday panel starts here. We have seen those before. Mm-hmm. And they go up a little earlier. But yeah, I wouldn't do anything that early. But I know people are going to try to do that. But that's when people get upset about the official lines versus the unofficial lines versus they told me to stand here and I thought I was standing in the right place and then 50 people got ahead of me and I didn't get my front row seat and da 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 da. So I think the best idea is to try to find somebody with security. We will have on our Dragon Con lanyards. I don't know what color they are yet this year, but usually they're pretty bright around our neck. And so that's how you can find the volunteers.
According to the policies, you'll be in bright pink, apparently.
Oh, awesome. I like pink.
That's what it says.
I was in purple one year and... Oh, good. Cool. So, I haven't read that part yet. So that's good. Thank you. And now that means I got to go read my policies. But yeah, so I would do that. I mean, there are going to be a lot, you know, we've had a lot of announcements just recently, a big group of announcements, a lot of Battlestar Galactica people just got announced and some others.
Real quick. I need to pipe in here again real quick. I said the only thing I remembered was the last name, which was Courtney. I don't want to call them out completely. It's actually a guy. It's a guy.
Okay.
I remembered Courtney as a name, so I thought...
You remember Courtney, yeah. So yeah. Well, and I also want to ask, because somebody asked me this, one of the directors, and one of the questions we've gotten on our Facebook site has been, you know, how do people volunteer for different tracks and things like that? And we've asked a director if they had them, and I think we've asked a couple. But we are going to be asking that of directors, you know, how does somebody get on your track, and do you have any spaces and things like that? But I just want to say that the best idea... If you want to volunteer for Con, the first thing to do is probably volunteer under security. If you can do AV, if you can do registration, things like that. That gives you a really good overview of how Con is organized. And it's kind of like a really good first stepping stone. And also it shows Dragon Con shows us, shows Dragon Con, okay, you want to be a volunteer, you're willing to start here and move around. So that's always a good thing, too, so that you can show you're reliable on that.
I do want to, still back on the line thing, because I do want to get this,
sorry,
this exact thing. Question worded as they did. It says, did I understand this correctly? For a panel where there is a previous panel in line, where there is a previous panel, the line will start as soon as the previous panel's line is in the room. Is this new? I was under the belief that those were the panels where there was an hour wait.
Those are usually the panels that are an hour late. So I don't know that it will start. Yeah, pretty much what will happen is, okay, so let's say it's a 10 a.m. panel. Mm-hmm. Somewhere around 9:30-ish, 9:30, 9:45, they will start loading the room. Okay. And so that means security, disability services will go first for anybody that need extra time or a certain spacing. Then they'll bring in everybody else. And then you guys will fill it up. And then the panel will start at 10. My understanding and the way the rules read is that at 10 o'clock, then they will start lining up basically for the 11:30 panel, because that would be the next panel.
Okay, cool. So,
and I will also say that, understand this, that if you go to the 10 o'clock, if you're standing in line, and there are two things to understand. Number one is, if you're standing in line and somebody comes up and says, I want to go into that panel, the 10 o'clock panel, while you're waiting for the 11:30, they're going to let them go in if there's space. Number two, Dragon Con clears the room between all big panels. Mm-hmm. So we don't care that you want to be there for the 10 and the 11:30. We're not trying to be rude about it. But we're going to clear that room. Don't say to anybody, well, I want to be here for the next panel, too. We're not trying to be mean. We don't care. You got to go out and get back in line.
You do care. You feel for them.
We do care. And we really are glad that you're coming to the next panel. But as a fairness measure to all, that's what we do. We are not a really large convention that's on the West Coast that lets people get into one room and camp there all day to see the 7 o'clock panel, even though 7 p.m. panel, even though that means they're going to be sitting through 10 other panels before they get there.
Yeah,
that is not what Dragon Con is.
Yeah, and a lot of cases don't have any interest in too. So,
and a lot of them they don't have any interest in, and that causes a problem. So, but let me talk. I mean, I'm just so excited about who we have, because we've got some people this year. I mean, yeah. I mean, as I said, we got some Battlestar Galactica people. But we also have somebody who I don't think has been here before, and we've really wanted to get him. And that would be, we've got David Hewlett, who was Dr. Rodney McKay on Stargate. Now, I know him better as the person who directed two Sci-Fi Original Motion Pictures. But
I'm sure that's exactly how he wants to be remembered, too.
I think it does, because he had the big kind of snow beast in one of them. But I think our guest would probably much rather be happy that he is coming as Dr. McKay through the Stargate. So, hi, Jamie.
Hello, Lee.
Hello.
Hi,
John.
Hi, James.
We're so glad you're here. And Jamie and James. I know. It's like we've got Jamie and James. So this is Jamie, who is the Stargate Multiverse director, and James, his second. And you guys landed Rodney McKay. How'd you do it?
How did we do it? You know, a lot of people give track directors a lot of the credit or blame for who ghosts are there or not. And we really don't have a whole lot to do with it. We kind of get to put in a wish list early on after a convention is over. And we just kind of cross our fingers and hope for the best. And sometimes the best comes, and, you know, we always like all the guests that we get. But, you know, you have those guests, and you're like, man, I'd really love it if this one got in. And sometimes it happens, and sometimes it doesn't. And David was a fairly late announcement for us. We just found out last week, and we're really super excited, because he has never been to Dragon Con, like you mentioned
never
before.
Never been to Dragon Con. And he's a huge geek as well.
And he's a huge geek. He's one of the members of Geek Nation.
Yes.
The hashtag Geek Nation.
But I like you saying that, because we do have a great, great, wonderful guest committee who does get us people. So, yes, there is a lot of begging often on the director's part, but begging is just pleading and begging and pleading in a different way. of asking. So yes, so that's really cool. So yeah, but you have,
we're sort of the intercessory of prayer for the geeks is really what we are.
Please, you know what would, you know what
the,
would make
the guests time? Pray to us. We pray to the guest committee and they answer sometimes.
The attendees, and we're like, we would love it. We would love if, yes. And then all of a sudden the Dragon Con star shines bright and you get a guest. But you have an abundance of riches there, because that's not the only guest you guys have.
No, no, it's not at all. We have a great, great panel of guests this year. We have Gary Jones and Gary Chalk from Stargate SG-1. We also have Terrell Rothery from SG-1 from Atlantis. Yes, I know. We love having her. She's a fantastic guest. She's been with us a couple times before. Let's see. We have Paul McGillian, who we'll have to talk a little bit about his involvement with our track, because he's going to be doing something special for us. We'll talk about it in a minute. Also, Peter Kalamis from Stargate Universe, who played Adam Brody on that series. So a nice roster. And that's not
very
all.
Nice
the
roster.
That's not all the guests that we have either. We have some non-stage guests. Mika McKinnon will be doing a panel with us. She was the consultant for sort of the science consultant on Atlantis a couple seasons and Universe. She's a fantastic guest, and she is involved with a lot of tracks at Dragon Con. Also from NASA, we have Trina Ray. I'm very excited about a panel that I do want to make sure we talk about in just a bit. But yeah, so we have a lot of interaction. Oh, also Pierre Bernard Jr. is going to be with us for an event or two. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Pierre's a fan favorite. He's done the Recliner of Rage sketch, worked on the Conan O'Brien show as a graphic artist, and he loves Stargate, and even has a couple episodes of his Recliner of Rage bit that he's done before, and he's a friend of the track, and he's done some art projects for us before, and so we're excited to have him as a guest as well.
Very cool. Very cool.
So, James, you were mentioning before we started that you've been with the track since the beginning, and now this is your second year as a second?
Yeah. I was one of the first people to sign up when they announced the track before we even had a director back in 2006, and I've been with the track the whole time, and have moved up to second for my second year. It's pretty exciting.
So explain to me, what does a second actually do? Everything that the director's not doing?
It depends on the track, but in our track, we pretty much split the responsibilities for a director between the two of us. I take about half the staff. Jamie has about half the staff that report directly to us, and we divvy up everybody's responsibilities evenly, and it's worked out pretty good for us the whole time. And yeah, should anything happen to Jamie, I'm there to pick up.
Stop plotting, James. Off. Stop that plotting. I know you're plotting. Just kidding.
No, actually, I bet James has a lot of the same things some other people I've heard say, which is, I've seen your job, and I don't want your job. There's certain parts of your job I don't want. He wants the fun. He might want some of the fun parts, but then he'd have to find a second. I mean, if he plots. But that's all Game of Thrones style stuff. You guys are Stargate. Nobody really dies. Well, they do.
Only the doctors.
They do.
The doctors die.
Only the doctors.
And Daniel Jackson over and over again.
Over and over and over. But then he kept coming back naked, so a lot of people were happy. All right, so what are some of you guys always also do a lot for charity. You guys are who we're all trying to catch up with now. So what are your big charity things that you guys are popping on with this year?
Excuse me. We have two events for charity. On Saturday night, we host sort of a game night, and we have a lot of things kind of packed into that this year. We're doing costume contest is going to be a part of that. Also, we're going to have two rounds of our pub trivia. One round will be sort of a mixed bag of geekery. And then another one will be specifically for Stargate fans. You know, how hard can Stargate trivia be sort of round. Pierre will be with us. He's going to be doing some artwork demonstrations focused on Stargate. So we're excited for that. And basically, that evening is more of a social mixer, but there's lots of opportunities to donate money, for example, to get your trivia team going. We suggest, you know, a donation. You know, you turn that into the charity people, and then you come take your seat and play the pub trivia with us. And, you know, those kinds of things. And Pierre's going to be doing some things, and so we're really excited about that. That one is sort of a kickoff for our bigger event, which happens on Sunday, the Don S. Davis Memorial Charity Auction.
Yes.
That event is now starting to become such – it's got so much history to it now, at least in terms of Dragon Con age. It's kind of getting up there. We've been doing that since 2008, essentially in honor of the memory of Don Davis, who passed away. He had been with us in 2006 as a guest and was just fantastic. Was everyone's grandpa. And then he was announced again in 2008, and everyone was really super excited, and he passed that summer. It just so happened that his wife had indicated that she would prefer, instead of a lot of fan mail and things like that coming in, that donations be made to the American Heart Association, which had already been serendipitously picked as DragonCon's charity for the year. And so we were already planning to do an auction, and we decided to make it about Dawn. And that's kind of how that got started. And now every year we auction off Stargate collectibles and autographed items, and it tends to bring in a lot of dollars for the DragonCon charity. And we're really super tickled. We put that in motion, our volunteers that work really hard, plus we have a lot of great donors. And then, of course, people who bid on these items, they're absolutely fantastic. I can't fathom where that money comes from. Those numbers roll in, and it's just, it's a miracle every year. That's really the best way to describe it.
And I know with some of the people I've talked to, like, they save up for this, and they do. I mean, they do. They know that this is going to be something, and they want to give to Dragon Con, to the charity, and they want to help. And they're also supporting your track and supporting, because also there are sometimes some fandom items that people are voting, are bidding on. So they like doing that and helping out fandom too. So yay!
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Charity and fandom. Yay!
And of course, the even better thing in the past 3 years, starting 2 years ago, Dragon Con is now doing the $50,000 match challenge with the fans. Yes. And we're really, really, really happy that that's a direction that Dragon Con has gone, because and I used to say it even before they did that, what we're really looking for whenever we raise, you know, X number of dollars, we're really asking every fan to give a dollar or more to the charity. And if you give a dollar or more with as many fans as we have, you know, that $50,000 match would happen in no time. And it's always an important cause. Dragon Con does a great job picking out great causes to support. Last year, you know, over $100,000 going to the Atlanta Community Food Bank was just phenomenal. And so pretty great on all accounts there. A dollar a fan is all that it would take. And that is, that's the commitment level we ask of every Dragon Con fan. If you gave a dollar, we'd hit that $50,000 match, and $50,000 would get doubled just like that. And, you know, Stargate's really proud to be, the Stargate track's really, really proud. I'm really proud of our fans that they come out every year and they kind of lead the way, and they make up for those people who don't give their dollar. Shame on you. It supports a great cause this year for the national, for the Lymphoma Research Foundation, Georgia Market.
Right.
Another great human benefit cause, and we're really excited to see how that goes this year. Paul McGillion's going to be our MC. That's what I meant to mention. Paul was with us in 2010 when we had a really, really banner year that year for the auction, because we had some surprise one-of-a-kind donations that wound up, you know, racking in a good extra bit of money. So And Paul's fantastic with the fans. He's hilarious. That's even if you're not a bitter kind of person, come to the auction anyway. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious to see the antics that the actors put on. And I'm not certain, but I do believe that the Garys are going to be with us. Gary Chalk and Gary Jones. I'm not sure how we're going to utilize all of them at once. Maybe it'll be all at once. Maybe it'll be in shifts. We're going to work that out as we kind of get closer to the event. But yeah, so we're going to have a whole lot of fun with some guests auctioning off some items, and hopefully that'll, you know, at least inspire people to want to show the bids up a little higher, because that's the magic of the charity auction. So, and we every year we say we do it for Don, and we're very, very excited about that. So
he was a very, very sweet man. So James, what are some of the things that you think people are really going to be looking forward to, whether they're, we know the big rooms with the guests, but what are some things going on in the track room that people should be really excited about?
Well, as Jamie mentioned, we have Mika McKinnon coming back. She's pretty awesome to talk to. She'll tell you that she was going to be an astrophysicist, and she saw what that kind of did to people at the top, some of them. And she changed and got her master's in disasters, actually.
Emergency preparedness or what?
Yeah, emergency preparedness. People ask her, you know, if Yosemite blows up right now, what would be the effects? How far would the fallout be of the ash cloud? And, you know, she has her master's in disasters and geology. We have Dr. Noakes coming back. He always does some great academic panels in the room. Dr. Scott Vigay, who does the Dr. Geek podcast and is also an archaeologist himself, so he can talk to a lot of the stuff that goes on in the show. We have our interactives coming back this year. We're doing a double feature this year. We're doing 1969 and Window of Opportunity. Both of which are fan favorites we're bringing back for the interactive. It's kind of like an MST3K Rocky Horror mashup with a Stargate episode. It's always a blast. Come check it out. We have a lot of great discussions that go on about the show. And I invite anybody, if you've got open space, come on over. I know it's a hike to the Westin, but a lot of people come over to the Westin and never leave all weekend. So
that's right.
So plus you're closer to the dealer room now these days too.
That's right.
Westin Alliance. Yeah.
That's right down there, baby.
All our tracks over there. We have a good time.
James,
the Wild Wild Westin. Woohoo.
James, do you have a particular track over the years that you've been there? Not like a main programming track, but panel that you particularly remember. Do you remember what the subject was about?
Honestly, I've spent most of my time in our track room over the years. I try and schedule one panel at least for the weekend where I get out of the room and go somewhere else. Last year, I went over to the EFF track for the Ingress panel. A couple years before that, since it was Stargate related, I actually went to the Stargate Worlds panel over in the MMO track. Unfortunately, that project didn't keep going. But
yeah, I was just about to say, what happened to that? Because I haven't heard anything about it. Well, apparently, it's no longer around.
Yeah, a lot of the funding and stuff fell through on that. There was a lot of discontent among the employees because they'd been working for a while without a paycheck, and someone finally put up a webpage with a timer of how long they had gone without being paid.
Whoa! Wow.
And it had gotten up over 90 days, at least at one point. Wow. Some of those assets were turned into the SG-1 Resistance first-person shooter. Okay. A lot of those art assets, I recognized those when I saw them. There's still information you can find online from the closed beta, like walkthroughs of the Citadel and other maps, but... The assets for that are kind of in limbo, but it was a great project. I actually got to play in that beta, and it would have been a great game if it had come out.
Aww.
Now, did anybody? I guess maybe at the time it was too late. How long ago did this die on the vine? Was it last year? Or?
It was back 2009 when it started having the downward spiral, and then MGM had their issues and didn't renew the license for anybody. So,
yeah, I seem to recall. Well, maybe it's a different thing that I'm getting confused with. But you know, these days they probably would have just kickstarted the thing to get everyone paid, but.
Yeah, there's a.
Whoa! Hey, how you doing, dog?
Sorry about that. Wait. I'm trying to find the mute button. Sorry, dog.
You're fine, Lee. Just let it go.
Radio edit.
Yeah. Right. I don't do anything.
Yeah. There's still a community of people. One of the developers actually kind of leaked a more advanced client than the people in beta got, and someone's written an emulator for the server side.
Oh, really?
So you can kind of like play it by yourself and see what it was like. But there's no continuing development or anything on it.
All right. Well, that's unfortunate. That would be really cool these days, right? Cause I mean, you have all these other ones that are you have one for Star Wars. You have one for Star Trek still. Yeah. I think that one's still around.
Yeah.
Of course you have, wow. You have a ton of them these days. So, oh, well. So what other panels, so you mentioned that you do try to schedule one to get out of, do you know what you're going to try and get out to this year? And same thing for you, Jamie, is there something that you, really want to go see that you, that's not in your track?
I'd really like to do a little bit of following on Star Wars track. I've always been a Star Wars fan, go Sith Lords, cause they're hilarious and awesome. Yeah, I would like to see some things on that track because I've never really had a chance to do their programming. When I started coming to Dragon Con in 2005, Stargate track started in 2006, and it wasn't very long before I was really sinking a lot of personal time into that one, even before I was an official volunteer. And and then you know, some things change, and suddenly I'm an assistant director and have been for, you know, 5-6 years, and then I'm track director. So, It really does take away from your convention time. Thank your volunteers, all of them, because they're all working very hard to give you a great Dragon Con experience. They are, a lot of times, many of them are sinking a lot of their convention time into making the experience better and better every year. So, usually for me, one of the big goals is to get out and shop. And it's really tricky to get it because you really need a couple of hours to go looking in the vendors hall and the Walk of Fame and things like that. I do like to, you know, make my Walk of Fame experiences pretty unique. I am a fan of personalized autograph pictures and photo ops and that sort of thing. So that's a big part for me. But yeah, I would love to do some stuff on Star Wars track. I think that would be a lot of fun. They seem like they have a lot of great activities. So.
Well, and Jamie, I also remember the picture I saw last year before, of you with Brett Spiner, and you had the T-shirt that said "Got Data," and he was actually pointing at it with a great, great look on his face. So you do have fun with that, and that's awesome.
So. Yeah, I try to make those fun and unique. I actually had that shirt from a statistics teacher's workshop.
I was going to ask you if you're a DBA, but
no.
Yeah. Right.
No.
Doing business.
Yeah.
No, no.
I know.
Nope. But
sorry. So yeah.
Yeah. I do try to make all those kind of personal and different.
Very cool. And so James, how about you? What are you looking forward to trying to go see?
I'm gonna see if I can get into the Ingress panel this year. Last year it was standing room only and people waiting outside. So hopefully it'll have a larger room. I have a lot of fun with it.
Explain what that is. I'm sorry, I don't know.
So the guys in Google who did Google Earth wanted to make a game that was based on location. So they've made a sort of capture the flag type game with two teams, and places like historical markers, places of interest, sculptures, murals, that sort of thing, are all in the game as flag points that you try to capture. They work some tower defense in there because you can put turrets and shields on them when you capture it, that sort of thing. But a lot of it's interesting because you turn on the app and you see the lines going across the different markers, and it may lead you to some church around the corner that you didn't know was there that has stained glass from, you know, 1885, and it's just this beautiful thing that you've never seen before. Ooh. Or it could be, you know, this great pub that is a microbrewery around the corner you didn't know was there. So there's a lot of chance to find interesting points around different cities, and it's a worldwide game.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. That's really cool. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah. And they've got a whole lore behind it. That's an interesting story, and it's constantly updating. They're always having events, and you know, it got me out and walking. It's one of the reasons I got a Fitbit to track my steps. So far, yeah. I've walked 300 kilometers while having the application open playing the game in just a little over a year.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking. You mentioned that there is a I guess First Saturday is a thing. Okay.
Saturday of every month.
Yeah, I was just looking at this. I'm like, there's a ton. I mean, it's all, you're right, it's all over the world. Wow.
Yeah. Why is there
nearby? Events
thing, yeah.
Yeah, John now has a new thing to start looking for.
A new thing to do. Yes.
I bet actually that it is this kind of, are there family people that do this, or is it mostly, is it kind of open to anybody?
It's open to anybody. It is tied to like your Google account. They have iPhone versions and Android versions. They don't have one for Windows Phone, I don't think, at this point.
Nobody has anything for Windows Phone. Don't worry about that.
But yeah, I know families that'll be like, you know, hey, we're going to go to dinner, and then we're all driving around in the van, you know, the four of us, to see if anybody want to come join the family, and they make it a family event.
Sweet. That is really, really cool.
Very, very cool.
Thank you for letting me know about this. This is really awesome.
Yeah, we'll actually put that link on the our page, because that sounds really cool. I think I didn't know about this. That's why I ask. I don't want to fake it here. I don't know some of this stuff, and that's how we ask, and that's how we become fans of more things, which is actually how I became a fan of Stargate Atlantis, because I was like, why would I want to watch this show? And somebody said, well, it's kind of cool. And actually then they also had me because they said, and Robert Patrick's going to be in it. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then, yeah. If you haven't watched Stargate Atlantis, I'm not going to say anymore, but yeah. That's all I got to say.
Lee and her not a spoiler alert. Okay.
Not a spoiler alert. Well, I mean, how long has the show's been out? What, 10 years now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We
celebrated the 20th anniversary of the original motion picture last year as our track theme. It's hard to believe that it was 20 years, and in that 20-year time frame, we had 17 seasons of television. A lot of people don't know that, you know, Stargate was sort of this sneaky cult hit. There are 10 seasons of SG-1, 5 of Atlantis, and 2 of Universe, and then 2 direct-to-DVD movies. So,
a lot of people, it was really funny. My son kind of got into Stargate, and he was like, they could show this on regular TV, because he was watching like one of the earlier episodes where it was a little tiny bit more racy. I was like, no, that was when it was on Showtime.
Late night Showtime, yeah.
That was when it was on Showtime at like 9 or 10.
Oh, I completely forgot that was the case with Stargate.
Yeah, for the first four seasons, it was on Showtime. So especially, I think, season 1 and a little bit of season 2 was a tiny bit... I don't want to say more adult. That sounds wrong. It was just it was on a premium channel, and so they
did
some
not
things
pull
that would
punches.
Not, they didn't pull punches, and some things that would not have gotten through on Sci-Fi, even on Sci-Fi, got through. So yeah, it's kind of cool. So good. Well, it sounds like you guys have a huge amount of stuff going on. So where exactly are you in the Westin, so people can find you?
We are located, if you are entering the Westin from what most people think of as the front, it's across the street from, you know, the Peachtree Center and Hooters and those areas. If you come in that front main entrance, we're located the fourth door on the left, We are the 4 through 6 doors. That's called Chastain, F, G, and H are our rooms. And, you know, we have most of our events there, but we have our Super Gate. Well, that's what we call our media guest panels. Mm-hmm. We have those in the ballrooms. Those are scattered throughout because of the different events that happen. Most of them are in the Westin. We have the one that's before the charity auction. Our charity auction happens in the Hyatt. And so we have the panel, the Super Gate, right before that, Sunday at 2:30 is in the Hyatt. And that way people can go from that auction, from that panel directly to the auction downstairs in the Hanover rooms. So, but yeah, most things are in the Westin, and we're located pretty much right on street level. No stairs to climb, no elevators to wait for. You just come in off the street and you can walk right into the track room. So that's pretty cool. I did want to mention, I'm really excited about one of our guest panels. The one that Mika is on this year, Mika McKenna. We also have a guest, Trina Ray from NASA, and, Scott Vigay is also going to be on this panel, but it's a panel that we're calling Carter, Fraser, and Women in STEM. And we're really trying to focus the fact that Stargate was one of the first sci-fi series that had a really, really strong female character that was a scientist, not just, you know, eye candy to look at. Carter's fantastic. Fraser was a fantastic character. And so we're going to have a discussion panel with some women in science and talk about, you know, how sci-fi influenced their decision to go into the sciences, how it motivated them in a very male-dominated field, at least at the time. And, you know, that is an ongoing struggle in society, is that, you know, women have a harder time getting into, when we say STEM, we're talking about science, technology, engineering, mathematics careers. And, you know, most geeks know that acronym, but just for our listeners out there,
just in case.
Good to know. But yeah, that panel is going to be Saturday at 1 o'clock. And I'm really excited to get that level of professionalism on the panel and talking about something that's that important.
Well, and I think, and hopefully some of our younger fans, both male and female, will come to that, because I think it's very important to talk about in STEM. How did I get in it, and what have I seen in STEM? And now all the new opportunities. There are more and more every day opportunities in STEM fields for women, of course, but for everybody. And so we want to keep encouraging everyone to look at STEM stuff and see what they want to do. So that's really cool. That is a cool panel. Yay!
Yeah, I was trying to reach out and use some more of our guests that aren't necessarily in the media, but we do have a lot of non-media guests that come to Dragon Con every year and are willing to do panels, and we really like to try and tap into those. And, you know, we do what Stargate spin we can on it. And the nice thing about Stargate, and there are a lot of women in science that were inspired by the characters that were on Stargate, especially the women that did scientific roles in that series. Panel, the media panel on Sunday has got a theme to it. Sometimes we do themes. We try to group them basically either by the show that they were in together, or maybe they played the similar role. But on Sunday, at least the beginning of that panel is going to be talking about voice acting and as a career in acting, because several of our Stargate actors have been voice actors. They've played roles in animated things, and so that's sort of a crossover panel. At least it's intended to be. It's the first time we've kind of tried something like that, but I've just kind of found that I kind of IMDb'd all of our Stargate guests. I'm like, hey, you were in a thing, and you were in a thing, and you were in a thing. So let's make this a thing and talk about that at least for a little bit before we get into, you know, the general fandom questions that happen in normal Q&A. We'll focus on those voice acting questions first, and then we'll move into just regular Stargate stuff.
Well, wait, but okay, so you're doing the voice acting. You're not going to talk about all of them, how they've either been in a sci-fi original motion picture and or directed one or two?
That's not the current plan, but it always comes up.
Good.
It really does. I remember someone asking Michael Shanks a few years ago, asked him, you know, why would you do a movie like Megasnake? And he kind of fumbled for a bit. And his wife, Lexa Doig, who was also on Stargate, grabbed the mic from him and said, because Papa's got to keep Mama in Prada. And that was That was probably the most epic answer to, you know, those sorts of things. Whenever you get that fan that's just not really pleased that their favorite actor from a sci-fi series is doing other roles in movies that they don't approve of for whatever reason. These actors are people. They have to work.
These are jobbing actors, people. They're working actors. And sci-fi original motion pictures are awesome. Hush up.
Well, and they obviously they don't.
Are you starting a new track, Lee?
She's trying
no,
to.
No, they won't let me. They won't let me.
She's starting her own subtract.
I do. I always kind of want to ask the actors, and I've never gotten the guts to just go. So is there like when you do a series with sci-fi, is there like a line somewhere in the contract where it says, and yes, I promise I will be in one sci-fi original picture at some point? It's like in like the tiniest font at the very bottom of the contract. Because I think somehow I do sometimes think they go, oh, and by the way, here you go. Mega Piranha versus Gatoroid. You're going to be the first one. Come on. Sorry. I love those movies. Y'all can all just stop. They're great.
One of my favorite things I ever did after most of Dragon Con was over was getting together with some of the Stargate volunteers and watching a sci-fi original movie, but turning the volume down and making our own script.
Yeah.
It is hilarious fun, especially if there are adult beverages involved. And it's a blast to do. And just in case, you know, you think that those movies are good for absolutely nothing, they can often be good for some great gags and some fun parties.
Awesome.
I think it was Ghost Shark that we watched.
Ghost Shark was pretty, yeah. Okay, so speaking of adult beverages, your track has a little tiny bit of a reputation for the early morning Monday panel.
Yes, the hangover.
The Mega Gate panel being kind of a hangover panel. Is that the plan again for this year? Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, we are going to call it the hangover panel because of its scheduling. The nature of that panel is because it's Monday morning at 10 o'clock and we get the actors that are just still hanging around, but most of them have celebrated and had a great time the night before. And we know that we're asking a lot of them to, you know, be on stage and, you know, their chipper selves at 10 a.m. on Monday. But, you know, this year, there's a little bit more focus on the quality of programming, especially in the big panels. There's a lot of attention to the idea that it's during the day, so it needs to be family friendly.
Yes.
So we're gonna tone it down a little bit this year. That's the goal, and I think that's the first time my fans will be hearing that news. You know, it's just something that we have to do. We're gonna ask our actors, you know, to kind of rein it in a little bit, but still, we're gonna allow a little bit more of the more bizarre questions. It's sort of a deal we make with the fans. We really ask them to really work hard, you know, to save those questions for Monday. And that's sort of our pact that we make. And so, you know, we're going to let some of those questions through, but some of them, you know, we may, if they're not appropriate, we may have to do some censoring. It's just the nature of things. It's the way we're going. And, you know, it is a daily panel and, you know, we want everyone to have a good time. So,
but that one is a panel. If you've never been to it, it is the panel where the actors are full of jocularity. It is very, very funny. There is a lot. I don't think I've ever seen as much giggling sometimes as I have seen in that panel. There's a lot of giggling, and I'm talking from the actors and actresses. So that is the panel to go to if you want to see people sometimes who are just having giggling fits for no reason. And they just can't stop, and it's kind of rather funny. It's fun.
It's also a really good way to see some of your actors out of that seriousness that comes with being in sort of this spotlight of being at a convention and having to watch what you say so much. It's a little bit more relaxed. And that's sort of the intention of the hangover panel, is it's a time for them to be a little bit more little bit more of themselves and to enjoy each other's company as much as they enjoy the fans and share some fun moments. And it always winds up being a good time, even if in the past some things have gotten away from us from time to time. We're going to work a little harder on that.
We're going to work on that. Yeah, we'll work on that. And you did bring up something that, and I kind of want to do that too. And I don't know if it's in the convention policies, but I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in there about, you know, being, I don't know. Your questions can be limited and can be said, yeah, you know, we just really can't ask that. You'll see some of those are up on the board. You know, don't ask them for a hug. You know, the 10 things not to do. Here's my 37-part question with sub-questions. Mm. You know, don't, you know, those kind of things. We don't want that. But we also do, we get things that the actors request or other people request, and we have to, and we do. We try to keep those, especially daily panels, kind of, you know, we want them to be general audience. And so we try to watch that. So just FYI on that. And you brought that up, so I wanted to bring it up. And I think that's great.
If you have that question that's sort of off of the edge of those sort of, you know, standard sort of questions, and you just really feel like you have to have an answer, best way to do that is to, you know, go see them on the Walk of Fame.
Yep.
Ask them one-on-one. They'll probably give you an answer, and some of them may eye roll you as soon as you walk away, but at least you get your answer. That's probably a better forum for that than in front of, you know, 500, 600 people. And
2,500, depending
on. Or yeah, even bigger, you know, you know, really, really big panels. But, sometimes if you have those kinds of questions as a fan, the best thing to do is to just ask the actor one-on-one. If the intention of your question is to get personal attention, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons and you're not helping other people's convention experience. And that's not cool in my book.
There you go.
It's, you know, it's right along the lines of, you know, cosplay is not consent and those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, if your goal is to see how uncomfortable you can make everyone around you, then just don't ask. In public.
There you go.
That's just the way that I feel about it.
I like that.
What do you think?
That's a good way to do it. I think you said it very well, sir.
Well, let me ask you guys one of our last couple of questions here from both of you. If I was brand new to Dragon Con, what would you say is the number one thing I need to keep in mind or do?
I'm going to let James answer first.
I see how the delegation works.
Yeah. So the big thing that always comes to me is respect. Have respect for your fellow convention goers and the guests and the people that are putting on the show, that are giving all of their time to make this happen for you, and you'll get respect back 9 times out of 10. I mean, there's occasionally some jerk. You know, there are jerks out there, but for the most part, if you respect people, they will respect you. And I think that's great about our convention. Other conventions I've been to, a lot of people just don't care whether they're on the volunteer staff or attending, but we really do have a lot of respect, and I enjoy the atmosphere that gives us.
Yeah. Cool. Very cool.
And Jamie?
I think the key thing, especially Dragon Con, is it's big convention. It's really big. It's as far as the size, and very densely populated. And I think a really important part is to remember that your time frame for everything expands about tenfold. Anything that you want to do or anywhere you want to go is going to take you about 10 times longer to accomplish than what you normally do. It's like time slows down, but the action speeds up at the same time. So, you know, you'll have that one place that you really, really wanted to eat, and you get there and you're going to have to wait 45 minutes to an hour just to get into the line to order food there. That happens. You know, you're going to go to the Walk of Fame and you'll see that actor and you'll be 20 people deep, and you'll wait for 15 people to get through with their time with the actor, and then the actor's got to go somewhere else, and it really stinks. It's not because the world hates you. That's just because it's a big, big, dense, populated thing, and those actors often have places to go. They have panels to do and things like that. Really, really try to be flexible and understand that your time as a fan, everything just takes longer. And if you can manage to keep control of your patience, a lot of times you get Sometimes you get the things that you expect, and sometimes the best parts of the convention are the things that happen that you don't expect. I've met people that were absolutely fantastic that I would never have thought I would talk to, but I'll be standing in a line with them, and they'll make a comment about my shirt. I usually wear some sort of graphic t-shirt every day of the convention just to see if I can get a reaction out of people. That's a great tip for new fans. Wear graphic t-shirts. People will ask you questions, so they will get it. The ones that get it will point to you and say, love your shirt. And it's like the best feeling in the world because, I don't know, I'm from rural Kentucky and, you know, people don't get my shirts all the time. And it's important to me that people get my shirt. I don't know if that's an ego thing, but, you know, I do like that as a fan. I feel like there's a common bond. Sometimes I wear the shirts just to know who I can talk to and who I can't. Because if somebody comes up to me and says, that shirt is amazing, I'm like, we are going to be best friends forever. That's what's going to happen. And that's the way Dragon Con is a lot of times. Some of my best times have been spent waiting in lines because you get to people watch and find out, you know, great costumes and take random snapshots and that sort of thing. That's a big part of the experience, not just what's on your schedule for the day.
Cool. Yeah. So
that is very cool.
So I'm going to go ahead and do our last question. Actually, we've kind of changed.
Oh, wait.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Like, yes.
Well, we have the other question, which is that people are asking. So how do people get onto your staff? If you have an opening or things like that, how do people do that?
I think it's different for different areas of the convention. Mm-hmm. Some are really open to the walk up from the street and say, hey, I'd like to volunteer. What can I do to help? We're a little bit more protective. A lot of times our people have some contact with media guests and that sort of thing. One of the things that we really do, though, is we want to see if you really are a fan of the track and, you know, try and prove that first. Have you been coming to the track? Have you ever volunteered to do something even without getting anything in return? Is this something that you love? And do you love the fans that are there? Are you a part of the family atmosphere of Stargate Multiverse Track? And, you know, we typically have this army of volunteers that are doing other things besides just our seven or eight that we have that work for Stargate Multiverse, and, you know, they get their free convention passes. If you audibly state or even write, I'm really looking for a way to get a free ticket this year, we're probably not going to consider you. That's just, we're a fan track and you need to be a fan first. And, you know, that's important to me as a track director. It's kind of always been a part of it for Stargate, and not every fan, sometimes that's not enough. Are you a fan that's willing to work to make it better for other fans? And, you know, will you do that with or without a benefit to yourself? And if you are that kind of person that will do that, you know, your time will be happening at some point is sort of the idea.
Yeah. It's a theme that's come up a lot this season of 50 days. It's a community. All the people that we talk to, of course, all the directors, nobody's getting paid. Everybody's a volunteer, and it's a lot of work, but they do it because of the love of either their track or the love of just, you know, putting on a party for everybody. So you have to have the right mindset to be a volunteer. It's not just, and I would imagine that the people that are just there to get the, put in there, whatever it is, 25 hours or whatever it is for a badge are the people that usually probably don't A, fill off the 25 hours or B, won't be volunteering again later.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't think that you enjoy volunteering if you do that either.
Yeah, that's true.
like the real benefit of volunteering are the smiles on people's faces, the pats on the back here and there as they come along. Someone who comes up to you and says, you know, this was great, but could we try doing this next year? And you're like, yeah, we'll give that a shot and we'll see what we can do. And sometimes you can live up to those promises and sometimes you can't. You do the best that you can. It's a lot of fans to please. And, you know, no two people are going to have the same idea about what the perfect Stargate track is going to look like. We try to do a little mix of a whole lot of things. We try to get in some hard science stuff. We try to get in some fan discussions about characters. We like to give an opportunity for people to do something official in costume. We have a great Stargate Multiverse group that does the parade. You know, there's
they are awesome.
Lots of people engaging in different levels in different ways, with or without recognition. That's what it means to volunteer. You know, ask not what Dragon Con can do for you, that sort of thing. Because, you know, it's an army of 2,500 people that are making an experience for 70,000 people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't want to be that one I don't think you want to be that one volunteer that makes the experience not good for somebody. You know, that's just, if you're there to do it for yourself, then just don't. Pay for a ticket, you know, go be a regular attendant. There's nothing wrong with that. No one blames you for that.
No.
You don't have to want to give and make Dragon Con what it is. But if you're one of those people that has decided you're going to do that, then do it and go all the way with it, because our fans are worth it. We have a fantastic fan community. And I think, you know, even though I haven't been to very many other big conventions, I can say hands down, we're the best one from what I've heard around, you know, because we have those volunteers that are dedicated and have that heart and drive to not only enjoy fandom, but make a difference in society and, you know, be the place that's home for 70,000 people for 6 days a year.
I have to drive a day each way.
So
I know. And I mine starts early and ends late as well. I'm not going to say that, but I'm just 4 official days. Stop that. Don't just do 6. Stop.
All right. So Dragon Con is now 7 days a year. Okay.
Stop it.
You know, if Dragon Con were 365 days a year, I think I'd be fine with it. So
I probably would too. But see, the problem is John keeps trying to say that there are 5 days of Dragon Con, and I'm like, stop. It's
there are 4 official days. However,
4 official days.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to show up on Thursday.
Or Wednesday. Even though,
it's a lot of fun. Or Wednesday.
Wednesday. I did a Wednesday last year for the first time.
Some of us show up on Wednesday. We'll be picking people up.
You know, the only bad thing about showing up on Thursday is that Lee keeps standing me up. I keep trying to find her to go to her secret gathering that she has, and I never find her.
Trust me. I am there on the dance floor.
Lies. Fools. Lies.
John, is that a lie?
You probably can't see her because she's been dancing with so many men that she's, you know, so low.
She's also tiny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also tiny.
She's certainly on the dance floor, but you can't see her.
You can see me. Hush up. Okay, now I ask your last question.
All right, so this season we started doing the thing of this or that. So both of you, obviously one at a time. I'm going to give you two options, and just off the top of your head, pick one of the two, and we'll just move to the next one. So
this will be fun.
Okay, here we go. Doctor Who or Dr. John?
Doctor Who.
Dr. John.
Atlantis or Stargate Motion Picture?
Atlantis.
Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
Led Zeppelin or Foo Fighters?
Zeppelin.
Foo Fighters.
Books or movies?
Books.
Hot or cold?
Cold.
Cold, yeah.
Dealer Room or The Art Show?
Dealer Room.
Klingons or Stormtroopers?
Stormtroopers.
Klingons.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Vampire or werewolf?
Vampires.
Donut or bacon?
Bacon.
Wow.
I know. These are tough, aren't they?
Bacon donut.
Okay.
Yes!
Disney or Universal?
Universal.
Marriott or Sheridan?
Marriott.
Spider-Man or Batman?
Spider-Man. Always Batman. Spider-Man. Never Batman. Oh, sorry.
Oh, and then, but James, did you hear James?
Yeah, I heard him.
James was Batman.
MMO or side-scroller?
MMO.
MMO.
L.A. or New York?
L.A.
Probably New York.
And science or fiction?
Fiction.
Usually fiction, yeah.
All right. That was a question. Yes, go ahead.
Wait. Rage of the Yeti or Python?
Rage of the Yeti.
Death. I choose death.
Those are. I don't know what either one of those two things are. So, you know,
Rage
of
the Yeti is okay. All right. Boa versus Python is God. The
you started it. Why'd you say
sci-fi movie that David Hewlett was in, and Rage of the Yeti is the one he directed.
Oh, well, Yetis are cooler and okay. more rare.
And you don't know Rage of the Yeti. Yeah, no. Well, Yetis are cool.
All right, let everybody know where they can find you again. Also, where they can find you on the webs and on the Twitters and on the Facebooks. And any other information we need to know before we sign off here.
The best way to get to reach information about us is we have the Stargate Multiverse track group on Facebook. Usually is where we post most of our news. We're kind of taking a little bit of a web design break currently, so that's the best way to get your news about Stargate is to look there, and of course, DragonCon website.
Cool. And again, you are over in the Westin in the weirdly named room.
Yes, Chastain, FG and H, which are the last three rooms on the left as you enter from the front side of the Westin on the street, right on street level, which is weirdly enough, it's the sixth floor, but it's on street level.
It's a really weirdly configured hotel.
Well, the thing is they hide all of the wait staff and servers and the food caterers and everything. They're all on floors four and into the basement.
Oh, really?
So I found that out last year. I think it was last year. I had a panel that I was going to, and I really had a need to go to the restroom. This is a fun story. And I went backstage at the ballroom in the Westin and wound up going through a door that closed behind me and couldn't get back, and I had to I had to walk down six floors of stairs, find someone who knew how to direct me out, and then take a service elevator back up. And I was actually a little late to moderate the panel. I had a good reason, you know. I was not going to make it to that panel if I had to use the restroom. So, but yeah, I was trapped behind a fire door and couldn't. I pounded and pounded, and no one could hear me. So, yeah. Those things happen.
No one can hear you when you gotta pee.
Those are the moments that you remember about DragonCon.
Cool.
That is oftentimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the work that you guys do, all the directors and all the staff. Again, it wouldn't be the party without the hosts. So we really, really do appreciate everyone that goes. So until next time, for Jamie, James, and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG. Or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow the geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.